Thank you, Don, for those songs. Yes, we were making a joyful noise. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one with the sinus drainage. I'm hearing a lot of clearing throats and all that, but we will get through this thing. We're going to wrap up our look at Samuel's life today. We have been, most of the verses that we've looked at have been in taken out of 1 Samuel. These by far are not an all-inclusive, peel layer after layer after layer of his life back. It's been more of kind of a survey of his life, in godly character. And I personally really like to look at great men of God, whether it be Old Testament or New, and even within my own life, I like looking at people that I think are mature and look at the pattern that they have set. Whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, or people I've had the privilege of looking at in my life. And there's been some excellent examples and some things that it bolsters me to kind of kick it up a notch. And Samuel's one of those people. We're going to start today in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And we had ended up, I think it was last week, the kingdom was going to be taken away from King Saul for his actions, for his attitudes, for his lack of obedience to God's word. And one of the passages we looked at last week was, God reminded Samuel that I'm looking for a man to lead my people that's after my own heart. He's never going to find somebody that's perfect. But he will find somebody that is mentioned numerous times that is a man after God's own heart, and that's David. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" That one verse has a ton in it. We could easily do a sermon on just this one verse. The Lord said to Samuel, he says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him?" We see the heart of Samuel. He mourned for one of God's chosen, anointed people that had fallen away. That shows us a lot. I'm sure we've known people. I know we have. We've known people, have worshiped with people that we have been witness to getting weaker and weaker in faith and eventually drift away. That hurts us. Or I'll put it this way, should hurt us. And but God told Samuel, says, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul? I've rejected him. You're crying good tears after bad. I've rejected him." And we think of that, God's telling Samuel, "I've got work for you to do. Get up off the pity party, and I've got work for you." In Mark 6:11, we see Jesus telling his disciples, he says, "And whoever will not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Jesus isn't telling them to not care for the people. You've got work to do. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Use your time judiciously. We are all limited on time. Every one of us. And the Lord is asking Samuel a very good question. How long are you going to mourn for somebody that I've rejected? Get up. You've got work to do. And haven't you known people that have fallen away because somebody else has fallen away? So maybe somebody they looked up to. And they fall away and they lost their enthusiasm. They lost maybe their faith because of somebody else. The Lord's given, not that Samuel was on his way to falling away. I'm not saying that. But the Lord kind of gave him a nudge. Get up and get working. You've got plenty to do. Saul has rejected me, and I have rejected him. You do what you need to do. He said, fill your horn with oil. You've got anointing to do. I've got somebody in mind. You prepare yourself. And he says, go. He had the choice to obey or not to obey. And he chooses to obey. And he says, I have provided myself a king. God's in control. He's reminding Samuel in the midst of all this stuff, I'm in control, Samuel. I've rejected Saul. I've already got a king in mind. Somebody that's going to be a man after my own heart. Somebody that will obey the things that I want done. Not somebody like Saul that will take it upon himself to do my work in ways other than I wanted. In verse 4, it says, so Samuel did what the Lord said. That says a ton right there. When God tells us to do something, do it. He tells us what to do, what not to do in His Word, in the Bible. It says, so Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? Now, they're asking a legitimate question, but isn't it an odd question for the leaders of a town to ask of this old man, do you come peaceably? It says they were trembling. If you remember, last week we looked at how Samuel reacted to King Agag after Saul was told, and it even stressed it, you were told to utterly destroy the enemy. You kill every man, woman, child. You even kill their pets. You kill their livestock. You utterly destroy them. God had a reason for that. And Saul didn't abide by it. And I loved in our discussion last week where after the battle, Samuel comes up to Saul's camp. And he's talking to him and he's hearing all this bleeding of the sheep. The sheep that he was supposed to have destroyed. And he's kind of asking this silly question. What am I hearing? King? Oh, what's this noise I hear in the background? Oh, it's sheep. Sheep that you should have destroyed. Then Saul brings the king out that he should have destroyed. And Samuel, this old man, fine, you won't do it, I'll do it. It said he hacked Agag into pieces. And you wonder why the elders of the town trembled when he shows up. They knew, they'd heard the story. Is this guy, is he a good witch or a bad witch? You know, is he a good prophet or a bad prophet? And is he coming to do anything to us? What do you got there, a walking stick? Is there a sword anywhere on you? And, but they want to know, do you come peaceably? And in verse 7 it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, as he was telling him about this king that I am providing for myself, he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. I'm going to read that one more time. For the Lord does not see as man sees. We need to strive to try to see the same way God sees. We need to try to always put ourselves that our will is what God's will is. It always isn't like that, though. Goes on to say, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We as modern day Christians, just as God's people of any time period, we need to remember this. We need to remember this as congregations select preachers, as congregations select elders. Haven't you seen before a lot of times man's attitude, well, they're successful in life. They would make a great elder. Being a CEO of a company and being an elder of the Lord's church can be night and day difference. It doesn't disqualify somebody, but just because somebody is successful in a worldly sense does not make them successful in God's eyes. It doesn't fill the requirements. And we saw with King Saul how he sacrificed to God. It was a good idea. God wants sacrifices to him, but King Saul wasn't qualified to do it. Man sees differently than God does sometimes, and we need to try to strive to see out of God's eyes. We need to try to strive to make God's will our will, not what we want. And it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In verses 10 through and 11, it says, Samuel goes to Jesse, in Bethlehem. It says, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. Jesse had brought his oldest sons in to, you know, Samuel had told him, the Lord has chosen one of your sons. Well, let me bring my sons in. Let me get them cleaned up, get their hair parted all the right way, put a little Brill cream in there, and let me present them to you. God hasn't chosen these. Are these the only ones you got? Well, I have another one. The youngest. He's out tending sheep. That's the one God's going to choose. The faithful shepherd is the one God has chosen to lead his people. In verse 13 it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Samuel anointed David in the midst of his father and of his brothers. Generally, we kind of look at status in a family, oldest all the way down to youngest. The oldest brother gets the special stuff. But not in this case, because God reminded Samuel, man does not see like I see. I look for the heart. And the heart of these others is not my heart. This young one who's tending the sheep, the brave one, who has fought lions and bears in the protecting of those sheep, the one that in next chapter, when his father Jesse sends him to check on his brothers who are in the army, and he obeys his father and gets there, and they're kind of ridiculing David when he's asking, why isn't somebody going out to fight that big guy that's cursing our God? Those brothers that had the ability to do it, who were trained soldiers, and they did not do it, just like Samuel, God's work is going to get done with or without you. And just like Samuel hacked Agag into pieces, David will take care of disposing Goliath. The brothers saw this anointing. And they realized, or I don't know if they realized or not, that they didn't measure up. And they still didn't measure up when their youngest brother goes out to fight the giant. In chapter 25, kind of jumping ahead, In between 16, David goes out and fights Goliath, and the people, the Israelites, start praising David over Saul. There's contention. You know, Saul starts turning against David. Now we get up to, remember, this is a look at the life of Samuel. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then Samuel died. And the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. It's pretty blunt. Then Samuel died. Is that any different than is what is going to happen to any of us? Samuel died. The great man of God, Samuel, died. He wasn't given a force field of protection to live forever. He got old and he died. He didn't expect God to protect him forever. Noah died. Moses died. Samuel died. We can't expect, especially when I'm not even in the league of Samuel, I can't expect something from God that they didn't get. It shows he's human. He died, we're going to die. But the legacy he left behind, that is something we can do. In Psalm 99, verse 6, it says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Samuel is mentioned right along with Aaron and Moses and other priests and other prophets. A pretty nice line. In the New Testament, a number of verses in Acts 3 says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. Samuel's mentioned in Acts as teaching and prophesying about the current New Testament church. In Acts 13, it says, after that he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel, the prophet. Samuel was a real man, not a fairy tale. Not a fairy tale that, you know, like Aesop's fables. He was real. He was a man of God and was still being taught and the influence of Samuel years later in the New Testament. In Hebrews 11, 32, it says, what more, and this is in that roll call of faith chapter, and it says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. And then in chapter 12, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Samuel was one of those witnesses cheering us on, encouraging us through God's recorded word about what he did. In Acts 13:20, after that he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Samuel was not only a judge, but also a prophet. A great man of God. Some of the things that I have gathered out of this study that we've looked at five different evenings, he devoted his life to serving God. He spent his whole life from childhood serving God. He assisted others in their walk to serve God. Not only did he serve God, but he helped others to serve their God. He obeyed God. We saw how Saul did some godly things, but in the way not prescribed by God. Samuel obeyed God. Samuel never condoned sin. And sometimes he got in the grill of the king. And he had the backbone to tell him he sinned. Oh, I'll just keep my mouth shut. I better not rock the boat. Better not cause too many waves. Not Samuel. He did it in a godly way, but he called out sin, even if it had to be to the king. Sometimes he stood alone. That's something I'm seeing over and over and over again in the Bible of godly men and women. Sometimes they stood alone. He died. It was so blunt. Then Samuel died. He died, but he left a legacy. Wouldn't it be great for us to leave a legacy of our faith that others can look back like Samuel, like people did with Samuel, and feel and see the effects of their work, of our work? I love character studies. Names change, faces change, but the story is the same. God wants people to serve Him when, why, and how they're told to. Samuel was one of those people. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight through prayer, as I look across the crowd here, everybody is baptized believers, that is accountable, and the offer of baptism, you don't need that. You've already answered that call. There may be sin in your life, maybe that you need to repent of, or maybe I need to repent of. There may be prayers that you need. We would be glad to go to God with and for you on behalf of, to offer up prayers of God to God for you. If there's anything that we can do for you, please come forward while we sing the invitation song. Don, what number is it?
906.
906. Let's stand and sing.